doing the Chazon Ish Emunah Bitachon. We're up to the fourth chapter, the 11th paragraph, the 11th section, Yud Aleph, page Nun Bet. And the Chazon Ish have been discussing that when we learn and strive to adhere to the halacha with the details, so then the halacha develops within us the personality traits we aspire to have. You want to develop your character? Well, adherence to halacha with its details are what will help a person develop the character that they should have. Sometimes you see someone who didn't work too hard in the Torah realm, he didn't work as hard as he should, and yet he is diligent to adhere to the details. But he had the good fortune of growing up in a home where his parents taught him to be diligent to detail, or his teachers taught him that. And part of his education was, when you're doing things, verify what the details of the halacha are. Learn, understand, get it right. Okay, so we all know that when you cut cold food, even though it's cold, you're supposed to use a meat knife for meat and a milk knife for milk. Do we also know that when you cut a sharp item, like garlic or onion, so then it absorbs from the flavor of the knife, even if it is an eino ben yomo, even if it is a knife that hasn't been used in the last 24 hours, cutting a sharp item, cooking a sharp item, causes flavor to come out, more flavor to come out of the knife. So whenever we cut garlic, we have to be careful to use a parv knife, a knife that's neither meat or fleshik, if you're going to use it either way. You could use a meat knife for onion, but then make sure you put that onion in your cholent. You don't end up cooking it together with your lasagna, with your cheese lasagna, right? And what about the cutting board you're cutting on? So there we are also careful. Ideally, we don't cut on a cutting board unless you're going to cut with a meat knife an onion on a meat cutting board. Usually what we do is we cut the onion out with a parve knife on a parve cutting board. So that's a detail that people might never know. What?
What about the dishwasher? I'm not joking. I read somewhere that there's some people who say that you can't just mix and put in the same dishwasher.
That's a good question. There are a lot of laws of kashrus, but we're dealing with one aspect of one detail. Okay. That's another aspect. Yes, Aaron. Fleishik comes from the word fleish, which means meat in Yiddish. Fleishik is meaty. Milchik is milky. Bisari in Hebrew. thank you for asking. The habit becomes an acquired trait. This is what we strive for. We want our children to be in the habit of getting it right and accurately correct. And part of the habit is that a person is in awe. He's careful not to get it wrong. He doesn't want to get it wrong. It's part of his psyche. V'omnam kinyan ha-tov haze yesh lo av shel tamid chacham shei aviv. So the way a person acquired this is either because his father was learned, or his teacher, or his teacher's teacher. And so the teacher was able to implement roots in the student, or in the child, to be diligent in the details. Even though the student did not work hard at learning Torah. He didn't put in enough effort, but sometimes that's the benefit of growing up in a certain home. We had a kid over this past Shabbos, and after the meal, Sudash Lishit, so my kids asked him, you want a cup of tea? So he looked at them and said, no, thank you. And we realized that he grew up in a home where it was obvious to him that after Sudash Lishit, you're not going to eat until after Havdalah. I never told my kids that, because anything that's a halacha that involves discomfort, the Talmud says we don't have chinuch in discomfort. So we don't train kids too early to fast on Yom Kippur. We don't train kids not to eat or drink before Kiddush. They can understand that the concept exists. But so I never bothered telling my kids that. Chinuch is the... We translate it as education, but really chinuch means to start someone off in a direction, to get them into the habit, get them in a direction that they will hopefully continue in their life. Like the word Chanukah. the inauguration, where you start off something. So the word chinuch, even though we loosely translate it as education, really it means starting a child off in a direction. So the idea of chinuch, we get a child used to the idea that they're not supposed to turn on and off a light on Shabbos, that they wear clothing in honor of Shabbos. We get them used to the idea they light Hanukkah candles on Hanukkah. In most areas, they eat matzah on Pesach. There are areas where the child does what everyone else does. They go to shul and pray. They do what everyone else does, even though they're not yet obligated. But in areas where it's discomfort for the child, so there you don't make a child uncomfortable. You tell them, when you'll grow up, this is what you're going to do. But to this other kid, it was second nature. But what impressed me more was that the child who was a guest didn't say anything to my kids. And the kids are offering him sweets, and he's like, no, thank you. And I was more impressed by the fact that he didn't bother telling them, hey guys, it's before Abdullah, you're not supposed to eat. I was more impressed that he didn't say that. And I could see that he was looking at the other kids eating nash, and he wasn't, and he was eyeing it, and he kept, and I could see him thinking, why are they eating it and not saying a word? That impressed me, that he didn't say a word, that he didn't eat, okay, so his parents got him into that habit, but that he didn't say anything, he didn't want to make my kids uncomfortable, that was impressive to me. What?
You explained it to him, right?
Why should I explain it to him? His parents got him into the habit of not eating for Abdullah, very good. So there are things that are ingrained in a person, even though they didn't acquire it themselves. They did not work on gaining that habit, but it was ingrained in them by their teacher or parents. So we have to appreciate what that means. That means that if we acquire Torah properly, we are not only acquiring something for ourselves, we're acquiring something for our kids, and all those that will be in our shadow, so to speak, all those that are educated by us. And students like that are so elevated. And what ends up happening is, when a person merits to learn by someone who really was diligent, who really worked hard to get it right, so then these students, even if they haven't worked as hard, are going to be as careful in keeping mitzvot, and they're going to be as careful in being fine, kind people. And they've learned it from a true source. But the Chazon Ish says they're so few in numbers. Finding someone like that. Because the Chazon Ish says it's not enough to have a teacher who's such a fine person, because it depends on whether a person is refined enough in their nature that it sticks. If you're by the most fine person and the finest teacher, but a person isn't equipped, a person doesn't appreciate it, a person isn't refined himself, then it won't rub off on them. Esav could grow up in Yitzchak's household, and he ends up being a murderer and a thief and all the bad traits, but his father was such a fine person. Right, but you have to have a basis of a good character in order to glean from that greatness. The fact that one has a great teacher or a great parent doesn't automatically mean they will become great. If the child is a decent person in their own nature, so then even without a lot of work, they can come out on a very nice level. But if they're not, so then the only way to fix their own personality is through hard work, through working with the Torah the way Chazon Ish has described. But there definitely are people, and you'll see that, people who just grew up in a home and were able to get the benefits of that home without having to work too hard. And they start off on a much higher level. And they're fortunate. They're lucky. There are definitely people who, just by growing up in a home and they didn't rebel too much against it, they were able to absorb the positive things of that home, and they're starting on a higher level. And that's these are two aspects of that we have to take to heart as parents. I'll give a small example from the mundane, and then we'll extrapolate it to the spiritual. You have people who talk while they eat. I don't know if you ever experienced that. You talk to someone, and and all the mayonnaise and ketchup and egg salad and who knows what they're eating is slobbering around their mouth as they talk to you, because they do both at the same time. Now, their children are going to talk while they eat. And for them, that's going to be normal, because that's how they grew up. Then you have a child that grows up in a home where no one talks while they eat. So they don't think twice about talking while they eat, because that's how they grew up. So there are things which are second nature to us. I'll give another small example. Some people come from countries where they actually use napkins. I don't know why they call them Soviets, but there are countries where they use napkins. Then there are countries where the napkins just sit there adorning the table. And if you've ever had the interesting opportunity to clear off a table in one of those countries after a meal, you see all the napkins folded as they were beforehand. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but there are different cultures. Some people use a napkin, some people don't. Now, if you come from a country where they do, it's going to be obvious to you how to use it, and that you should use a napkin. You come from a country where they don't, it's going to take a little bit of habit changing before you do. So this is true in all areas. This is true in some cultures where they put bread directly on the table. This is true in cultures where they don't use a knife, they use their fingers with the fork. This is true in many areas. You know, some people drink their tea with a spoon inside, and some people drink without, and people look at one another like, what are you doing? But sometimes it actually makes a difference. But that's true in the mundane. When it comes to a person's character, so there, imagine a child that grows up in a home where people don't yell. Imagine a child that grows up in a home where they're careful not to talk lashon hara. Imagine a child that grows up in a home where they know that even when people are upset, they talk in a way that's respectful. So then that's second nature. And that's what we want to give our kids. And we have to remember that our weaknesses, not only in the mundane world, it's not only if you talk while you eat or eat while you talk, but it's also in the spiritual world that what we have lacking will often be magnified in our children. I had the fortune of teaching a child whose parents were blatant liars. Every time I spoke to them, they lied. So was it any wonder that their kid lied? You know, we'd make up a meeting and they didn't show up. And then I'd hear one version from the mother, one version from the father, one version from the kid, and they just didn't match. So someone there is lying. The kid says his dad overslept and didn't show up to the meeting. The mother says, you know, my mother was sick, we couldn't show up. And the father says, my boss called me up and said I have to show up to work even though it's Sunday, so I just couldn't come. So you get three different versions. Now you're apt to believe the kid, right? They overslept. I can understand Sunday morning they overslept. The fact that their kid was expelled from school and couldn't come back without the parents, well, they overslept. Okay, it tells you something. But what are you going to do? When you see the parents lying like that, so you sort of feel bad for the kid. But if we think about it, we all have weaknesses. And then the Chazon Ish is saying, you give your kids gifts. You give your kids strengths because they grew up in a home where certain things are second nature. And that can help us, can be a drive to conquer our weaknesses. I'll give one more example. There are kids who grew up in a home. Okay, I'll tell you the full story. I used to run a day camp. And one week I wanted to take the kids to volunteer to prepare food packages for the poor for Shabbat. So I planned a trip. The kids were 6th and 7th graders. They were not yet bar mitzvah. So we planned a trip to go to this factory and package food packages for the poor for Shabbat. I get a phone call from one of the parents, Mr. Kirschenbaum. Says, my son Aaron, true name, I think it's a Kiddush Hashem, the story. When is he going to daven Ma'ariv? So I said, Mr. Kirschenbaum, your son isn't bar mitzvah yet. So he'll daven Ma'ariv whenever, when he comes home, remind him to daven Ma'ariv. And Mr. Kirschenbaum says to me, I want him to daven with a minyan. I said, I don't see the way the schedule is set up that the kids can go to a minyan. We're going before sunset. I have to pick up all the kids. And then by the time we end, it's going to be late. I don't see that I could take the kids around to a minyan then. The kids will daven at home. So he said, okay, then I have to figure something out. I don't know if my son can go. We have to figure out a way he can get to a minyan to daven Ma'ariv. So I said, Mr. Kirshenbaum, why is it so important? The child is not yet bar mitzvah. Why is it so important for you that he daven with a minyan? So Mr. Kirshenbaum said to me, he said, I don't know, he must have been in his 50s by then. He was a grandfather already. I don't remember the exact age, something like 55. He said to me, I'm 55 years old, and I never missed the davening a tefillah with a minyan since my bar mitzvah. And all my kids are the same way. We take minyan very seriously. And so I don't want my son to miss minyan. Silenced me. I remember that story till today. Can you guys imagine a person that for 40 some odd years never missed a prayer with minyan? Never! His whole life! Okay, so you can understand that his children, he already had children in their 20s and 30s. I was teaching the baby of the family. Right? He had children in their late 20s and 30s. So he had kids that for over a decade had held on to what he said, that's over 3,000 prayers. And we all know there are times you go to a wedding, there are all kinds of excuses. And bottom line, when it's important to someone, then the kids end up knowing it's important, and it's important to them. And when we have a weakness, let's take the flip side, if half the week you're going to sleep late and you're going to get up and rush out to work and grab your tefillin with you so that sometime we're on the train or on the bus or when you get to work, you're going to catch that prayer, well, you're giving that weakness to your kids. The houses where it's an obvious thing that dad gets up in the morning and goes to minyan, those are the houses where it's obvious to the kids. And the houses where it isn't, so then the kids end up with the parents' weakness. And one point you have to remember is that on Shabbos, go to shul. Even if you woke up late and you're going to show up for Torah reading, even if you woke up so late that you're going to show up for Chazaras Hashatz of Musaf, you're going to show up for the tail end, the last 10 minutes of davening, go to shul. Go. Your house will run differently. Your Shabbos will be different and your children will feel different seeing that the house runs with starting the Shabbos morning and going to shul. Go to shul. It's very important. Obviously, you should be there early. You should be the one opening the shul. But if that didn't happen this week, okay, and it didn't happen next week, whatever, it didn't happen. But at least go. It's very important. It drives a different home. When you stay in your PJs Shabbos morning, you're giving a message in the house, and it's a wrong message. When you force yourself to get out of bed, and you put on your clothes, and you go to shul, your Shabbos looks different. So you're davening in shul. I know you missed Shacharis, and you missed Shmona Esrei, and you missed Kriyas Torah. Next week will be better, but get to shul. That's very important. Especially when you woke up late, and again, the habits we try to acquire now, is that when we build a family, we're already halfway there.